Let's pray. Father, we ask right now that You would open our ears and open our spirits to learn more about the anointing. Lord, we know from the Bible it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And Lord, whether we're involved just with our families or in a business or in the ministry or as some of these people here going to the mission field, we must learn how to yield to and release the anointing in our lives so that the very victory of Jesus Christ can come forward. Teach us by the Spirit. Give us a divine transfusion of life. Hook up the Holy Ghost IV tonight and transfuse life into us, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you agree, would you say amen. Amen. Psalm 92. I want to start here because it declares to me and to us the reality of the fresh anointing. Somebody says, well, you got the anointing. Is it fresh? Is it old? You know, there's one thing to have bread. It's another thing to have fresh bread. I tell you, I don't like sandwiches on stale bread. It's bread, but I'd rather have fresh bread. Amen? And so many Christians, they're weary. They're drained at times. They're running on what they got yesteryear instead of, as that prophecy said, letting that river continually flow through their soulish realm. The river's in there, but you've got to release it through the soulish realm so that you stay in touch on a day-by-day basis with the resurrected, fresh, anointing power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 1, Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
That's a good place to start a conference right there. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. To show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. Just like the fellow over there shouted out, all the time. Amen? All right, let's go on. Verse 3. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. You know, somebody says, well, I don't play an instrument. You've got a stringed instrument. It's located right here. They say that your vocal cords are strings. You've got a stringed instrument. Learn to lift your voice to the Lord, you see. That's your stringed instrument. Verse 4. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Everybody say glad.
Glad.
Everybody say not sad.
Not sad.
See, glad, not sad. When you begin to worship and praise God, and that's a vital part of letting that fresh anointing come through, it'll make you glad and not sad. Through Thy works I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man, or we might say a natural man, or the unbeliever, you see, knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. He doesn't know anything about releasing the power and the victory of God through his life. Verse 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed. But Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, Thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, Thine enemies shall perish. Listen, if you've ever had a season in your life, everybody say season. We all go through seasons. If you've ever had a season in your life where it seemed like the enemy was getting the upper hand, you need to come back to this verse. That enemy shall perish. It may seem for the time that that enemy is getting the upper hand, but that enemy shall perish. I'll tell you, even in death, that enemy shall perish. It says it's the last enemy that shall be destroyed, even death. So the believer, you see, we can even face death with hope, praise God. You know, it hurts. It hurts to lose somebody, but we don't have to face it like the rest of the world. We've got hope. Now, I want you to mark verse 10 real big. Would you do that? Put it in yellow, put it in pink, put it in all those hot colors, because it mentions a phrase here called fresh oil. Everybody say fresh oil. I guess oil can get old too, just like bread can. Amen? Look what the psalmist says. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn. The King James says unicorn, but a better translation there is like the ox, the wild ox. My horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of the wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now I tell you, as I travel every week, I'm traveling. That's why some of you know me, some of you look at me like, who's this guy, you know? I'm not here that much. And even our own church, Christ Fellowship, it has grown so dramatically over the past 2 years. I don't feel like I know the people when I do come. But as I'm out there with my finger on the pulse, you see, every weekend you're out there in churches all across the land, you begin to get up. It's like a stethoscope. You're listening to the heartbeat all around the country of what's happening. Not just there may be a pocket of revival, but you go 300 miles down the road and it can be dry as a rock, you know. And as I'm out there, I sense one thing the Spirit of God is trying to say. I want to anoint my people with fresh oil. I want to anoint my people with fresh oil. There's been a dryness. There's been a famine of the Word. I want to put my people in touch with me, and the anointing brings the victory. Now, when it says there that thou shalt anoint my horn, you know, like the ox, he's talking about you'll lift me up above my enemies. That's what he's saying. You're going to lift me up just like the horn, you know, is above there. You're going to lift me up above my enemies. Look at the next verse. Look at the very next verse in relation to the fresh oil. Mine eye shall also see my desire on mine enemies, praise God. Now, I'll tell you, in my life, see, I'm not up here saying I know everything. I'm going to teach you what I do know. I know quite a bit about the anointing, but I'll be the first to admit, the more I study it, the more I say, man, there's realms where no man has gone. Kind of like, you know, the Outer Limits or Star Trek, going where no man has gone before. You know, I know that there's realms of the Holy Spirit that we really don't know about. That very few people have pressed in, like that prophecy. I love that prophecy. Press in, press in, press in. But when you get that fresh anointing, you have victory over your enemies. Turn it around. When you're being defeated or crushed by your enemies, it's because there's not a fresh flow of the anointing. And we all go through seasons like that. You know, I don't think for most Christians it's the thou, you know, shalt not commit adultery that stumbles them. That happens with some people. But by and large, that's not what steals the fresh oil from most people's lives. That'll certainly do it. Most people, it's the cares of the world. Most people, it's one word called distractions. We get distracted from priority number one, which is Jesus said, abide in me. That's the hub of the wheel. All the spokes radiate from that. You can study prayer. You can study deliverance. You can study fasting. You can study family life. All these things are important. But the hub around which everything revolves is Jesus Himself. And He says, stay plugged into me. But look at the psalmist. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies. And mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Wouldn't it be just great just to hear, hey, every bill is paid. Praise God. I'd like to hear that. Amen?
Amen.
Every problem. That problem person at work got promoted to another area. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Lord may leave him there just to be a little sandpaper on you for a while. Amen? Knock off some of your rough edges. But you see, your ear and your eye, hearing and seeing. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish. Everybody say flourish.
Flourish.
See, not perish, flourish. Everybody say flourish.
Flourish.
Now, I'll tell you how that flourishing comes. Whenever you're planted by rivers, there's plenty of water. Amen? And you can flourish. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 1. You know, planted by rivers of living water. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, tall, straight, and mighty. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Praise God. That's a Hebrew idiom for they shall still be prosperous. Whenever the Hebrew says they shall be fat, that means they will have an abundance. Everybody say, I'll take it. I'd rather have abundance any day than lack. Amen. I've had both. And I'll tell you, abundance is better. I know what it's like to start a ministry with zip. I mean, we didn't have a typewriter. We moved to South Georgia, from Tulsa, Oklahoma to South Georgia. Man, I thought I'd gone to the foreign mission field. And I know what it's like to get out on the streets and preach. The only thing you really own is a Bible. And you know you've got the anointing, and you start with that, you see. And if you keep that fresh anointing flowing, it'll cause you to flourish. God will add people, add the materials, add the things, add the equipment that you need, and He'll make you mighty. But when we get our eyes off the Lord and get distracted, then we start losing that freshness. Amen? Verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Now, the point of reading that whole psalm was this. There is the reality of fresh oil. I want you to write that in your notes. That's point number one. You've got to understand, there is the reality of fresh oil. Well, if there's the reality of fresh oil, there's the reality of what? Stale. Stale. And you know that's true. I hear the Spirit of Jesus crying. I really do. I hear the Spirit of Jesus crying. I hear the wind blowing all across this land. God desires there to be a fresh, new move of His Spirit. Not like the Pentecostals. Not even like the heyday of the charismatic movement. We're going to see a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. It's beginning. And it's going to start with a revelation of who Jesus is. I've heard people say, well, I'd like to have a revelation of the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We need to have a fresh revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everything about Him, but of Him. Now turn with me to Isaiah 61. Let's go to Isaiah 61. And I want to talk about the job description of the anointing. So that's point number two. You can tell I like to teach like that. See, Sandra eats this stuff up. She likes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like I do. These guys that get out there and shotgun it, you know, I can get a lot from them. But man, I'm trying to chase all the BBs, you know. I want a 1, 2, 3, 4. Praise God. So we've talked about the reality of fresh oil or fresh anointing. And now we want to talk about the job description of the anointing. Why would you want to have fresh anointing? See, why would you want to have the fresh oil? Why would you want to make the effort, and it takes some effort on your part. And tomorrow, all three sessions, we're going to be teaching on what you can do and cannot do to maintain fresh anointing. Notice I said what you can do and cannot do to maintain the how-tos to make this thing work, to get that river that's in there unlocked and let it be released, you see, through your soulish realm for wisdom, for finances, for direction, for guidance, raising your children properly. See, I've got two little ones, and dear God, when you have children, you have to have wisdom. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So you think you're real smart until you have children. Praise God, you know. In fact, you know, I think that children, you know, that's the sanctifying process of the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a realm there that sanctifies you. All right, Isaiah 61. Let's look at the job description, verse 1. What will the anointing do? That's the question. Jesus, this is a prophecy really about Jesus. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Now, do you remember Jesus reading this when he commenced his ministry and they got real excited about it? Do you remember that? Wanted to kill him. Amen. So, you know, that's one of the fringe benefits of the anointing. People think you're different. Verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me." Now, I want you to underline the Spirit and I want you to underline the word anointed because they're one and the same. When we talk about the anointing, we're talking about the Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God, did you know the Spirit of God can get on things as well as on people? Certainly it can. Do you remember how Paul prayed over handkerchiefs and sent them out? It wasn't the handkerchiefs, and it certainly wasn't Paul. There was an anointing that was transferred on that handkerchief. Now, you know, I hate to see a lot of people try to use that as gimmicks these days, and, you know, I don't like gimmicks. But I'll tell you what, the anointing can be on things. Did you know the anointing can be on clothes? There's a story about Smith Wigglesworth. He slept in a bed one night, and when he left, the next guy that got in there got saved. I guess they didn't wash the sheets good enough. The anointing was still on them, praise the Lord. So that's what I'm talking about, regions where no man has gone before. See, I don't understand that. I don't understand how the Holy Spirit, who is a person, can be on things. I can understand how He can be in my spirit, but it's another, you know, the Holy Spirit can be on things. He certainly can. There can be a corporate anointing. There's a corporate anointing that occurs. You know, when we get together and we worship God and we get our focus on Him, there's a corporate anointing that can fall on the people. There's an anointing for ministries. Did you know that? God can anoint people for certain functions that when they're not under that anointing, they can't do it. And the people that are under that anointing, they think, what's wrong with everybody else? They ought to be able to do what I can do. I mean, Samson, he thought everybody, you know, pulls gates off of walls and runs up the hill with them. I mean, that's just normal stuff. But he was anointed to do that. You see, you're anointed to be a pastor. My pastor, Pastor Chuck Strong of this church. See, he's anointed to pastor. I'm not. He's not anointed to travel like I do. Most people aren't. Most people cannot handle traveling every weekend. See, I fly my own airplane. Praise God. God bless us with an airplane 2.5 years ago. And it's a paid-for airplane. Everybody say paid-for. Whew, that's the best kind of airplane to have, a paid-for one. Most people couldn't handle it. Most people just get absolutely slap-worn out. But if you're anointed to do it, you can do it. I'm not saying it's always easy, but you're anointed to do it. You see, Gary, a missionary in England, he's over there in England, street ministry, drama, in the parks and so forth, winning people, discipling people one-on-one. He's anointed to do that. And of course, he looks around and says, why isn't everybody doing this? You know, there's anointings. But there's also an indwelling anointing. I want you to write that down. Everybody say the indwelling anointing. See, every believer has the indwelling anointing. That's what we're going to concern ourselves with primarily, is how to give your attention to the indwelling anointing that's in you. Because when it's in you, you need to learn to release it so it can get on you. Let me say it again. The anointing that's in you needs to be released so it can get on you. Through you and out of you onto other people. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to do something. Now here's the job description. Mark it, would you? Here's what the anointing will do. He'll get your mouth in action, first of all, to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, I'm telling you, when you have the anointing flowing through you, you're going to be speaking good tidings. Everybody say good tidings. We all, listen, I face it too. There's always the tendency, you know, something goes wrong, you want to talk a little negative. I'm not perfect. There's times where I talk negative. That's when Martha backs me up, you know, and the kid says, well, you just better go listen to your tape set again. Every man needs one woman like that. Just one. Praise God, you know. But I want to tell you, when the anointing is flowing through you, good tidings. Everybody say good tidings. See, not bad tidings. Your mouth will get involved. Now, it says preach here, but that just simply means proclaim. The anointing will get hold of your mouth and good things will start flowing out of your mouth. The world will start having, it's sunshining. It's sunshining. When you're under the anointing, it's sunshining. Maybe you don't have everything you need, but it's sunshining outside. You're not under that dark, gloomy, cloud, heaviness spirit. So number one, what's the anointing going to do? You're going to be talking, preaching, proclaiming good things. Number two, it sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I'll tell you, I never cease to be amazed at my meetings, how people are brokenhearted. Anointed, you see, to really directly minister to the brokenhearted. And we were talking about that. I worked together with him in a conference over in Huntsville a few months back. And we, after the meetings, we'd go out and talk, you know. And it never ceases to amaze me how people can come into a service just like this and look so normal, but inside be so broken up. You know, you can have a prayer line and people, they're dressed up properly and they look nice and they've really made the effort to be there and praise God for it. But you get to talking to them and they're dying of leukemia. You know, or their husband just blew his brains out. Or they hadn't seen their child in 5 years. They don't have no idea where they are. And I tell you what, that causes people to be brokenhearted. The anointing can heal the brokenhearted. The anointing can identify, because the anointing will not look on what the outward observance. Oh, well, they look nice. They look like they're together. The anointing can see through that and go in there and heal the brokenhearted. Do you see why we need the anointing? The anointing. Everybody say the fresh anointing. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. People are just held captive. This is the job description. He'll set them free. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. People bound to all kinds of things. Fears, phobias. You know, some people get so fearful they can't do anything. Some people, the fear finally generalizes to everything. They can't do anything. They can't go out into a restaurant. They get fearful. The devil will just bind you up as much as you allow him to. That anointing can break that. Amen? That anointing can break that. Look what it says in verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, make a note in your margin about this. I said, what does that mean, the acceptable year of the Lord? I began to study that, and it's talking about the year of Jubilee. Every 50th year in Israel, all the debts were just declared paid. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we did that in the United States? Praise God. Every 50th year, they had what they called the year of Jubilee, where all the debts were paid and everybody went back to their original property. And it's kind of like the whole society started again, fresh, clean slate. And so what he's saying is here, Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing, wants to come to proclaim Jubilee. Release. The slate is clean. You get to start fresh. That's the acceptable year of the Lord. You do some research on that and it'll take you into Exodus, I believe, about the year of Jubilee. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. You see, to take people's lives that absolutely seem like an ash pile, they've gone bankrupt, they've lost their emotional stability, things have gone wrong in life, God says, I'll give them beauty for ashes, you see. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now, go with me to Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10. And once you find Isaiah 10, put a finger there, and then I want you to find Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 30. We're going to look at two places simultaneous here. Yes, it's Isaiah 30. Isaiah 10 and Isaiah 30. We see very clearly the job description of the anointing, which was fulfilled through Jesus and then passed on to every believer. Amen? See, when He ascended on high, He gave what? Gifts unto men. What's the greatest gift? He gave the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And so every believer has the Holy Spirit in them and upon them if they'll learn to walk in that dimension. And the same job description, Jesus went about what? Healing. Setting the demoniacs free. Taking people that, were rejects in the world, and praise God, restoring them. Now that same job description should be functioning through each one of us. First in our lives. Everybody say, my life. So you can't go away and give something you don't have, right? Amen. So yes, God wants to first let that anointing break the yoke, heal your heart, set you free, give you beauty for ashes. And then once you are established, then you can begin to let that river flow through you to others. Whether that's in your workplace, whether that's on the campus, maybe you're attending school, whether you're a minister, a missionary, whatever the case may be, that river going over, producing life. Producing life. Now look how it's summarized here in Isaiah 10. And I want you to mark verse 27 real big. Amen. Put it in yellow, pink, purple, and all those hot colors. Amen. Isaiah 10, 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that His burden... Everybody say His burden. His burden. Now, whose burden are we talking about here? Well, go back up to verse 24. The enemy in that day was the Assyrian. Look what it says in verse 24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. That was the enemy. He shall smite thee with a rod and lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. But it goes on down to verse 27. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the Assyrian who's beaten you with that rod. I'm telling you, the devil will just beat you. Amen? See, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood today, do we? Who's our enemy? Wicked spirits in high places. And I tell you, the devil will do just like the Assyrian. He'll just absolutely beat you with rods as long. Finally, just put your foot down and say, I've had enough of it. Everybody say, I've had enough. You finally get to the point where you just say, I had enough and I'm putting my foot down. I'm not going to take it any longer. And then anointing. Look what it'll do. Look what it'll do. Verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off of thy shoulder and his yoke from off of thy neck. Mark it. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Every yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That's why it's turned into my favorite song. That's why I had my wife sing that. It's the anointing. Once you've known it, you can't live without it. Praise God. Now, follow me. Don't miss this. There is a connection between the anointing and the voice of God. Don't miss this. You're not going to ever have the anointing, the fresh anointing flowing through you. You might have it in a technical sense. Well, I'm a believer in Christ. I accepted Jesus in 1961, walked down, prayed in unknown tongues. I got filled with the Holy Ghost back then. I say, yeah, you might have had it back then, but the problem is you've been leaking real bad since then. Meaning out of your soulish realm. It's down there in your spirit, but your soulish realm has long since run dry. See? And if you're going to have the fresh anointing, you're going to see that there's a connection between the voice of God and that fresh anointing. Hold your finger there. What did it say? Shall break the yoke? The what? The anointing shall break the yoke. Now go to Isaiah 30 and mark verse 31. For through the what? Not the anointing this time, but it says, for through the voice of the Lord shall the same enemy, the Assyrian, be beaten down which smote with a rod. Praise God. I want you to mark that. Chapter 30, verse 31. For through the voice of the Lord. See, that anointing is going to be released through the voice of the Lord. Now think about that. When you hear God and act on what God said, that causes that fresh anointing to activate. Did you hear me? See, a lot of people, they take Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, which is the blessing package, praise God, which we qualify because of Christ, and they just say, well, anything I set my hand to will be blessed, so I think I'll just go do this. And they fall flat on their face. And they say, well, God must be a liar because it says whatever I put my hand to. No, verse 1 there says, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and observe to do all that he says, then these blessings shall come on you. See, so that anointing and those blessings, he will bless anything you set your hand to that he's told you to set your hand to. Praise God. And so as we get further into this conference tonight, you'll begin to see it more and more, and especially tomorrow. And then some of you won't be able to be with us Sunday. I realize that because you attend other churches or Wednesday night. But you're going to see that there is a connection between walking in that fresh anointing and abiding in the resurrected Jesus so that you're hearing His voice. Because when you hear His voice, that's the fresh anointing. That's the big question is, how do I hear the voice of God? Amen? See, that's what everybody... Oh, I'd love to hear the voice of God. How many of you would love to hear the voice of God? We'd all love it Charlton Heston style too, wouldn't we?
Jason.
You know, maybe in the mall or at a minister's conference. That would even be better, you know, where all the other ministers had to hear that.
Jason, thou art a chosen man of God above all men upon the...
Yes, God, yes. So, you know, kind of Hollywood style, burning bush experience, you know. But it doesn't normally come like that. Go back to chapter 10. I want to hit this home again because this is a crucial point in our study. Verse 27. And his yoke from off of thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed, say it, because of the anointing. Well, five of you got it. Let's say it again. Because of the anointing. One more time. Because of the anointing. All right, go back to chapter 30, verse 31. Let's say the first part there together. For through the voice of the Lord. One more time. For through the voice of the Lord. So you see that voice and anointing linked up there together. All right, let's go to 1 John in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 2. Let's locate the anointing. I've already alluded to it a number of times, but I want you to see it in black in your own Bible. Amen? And mark it in your own Bible, because this is what disturbs me a little bit about some ministers. I realize that the Holy Spirit can do bizarre things. I've seen the Holy Spirit do unusual things. But to hear some people teach, if you're really going to have the anointing, that's equated with you've got to get spooky. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you got to get drunk. You got to fall off the platform. You got to, you know, hit the wall. You know, you got crazy things. Crawl into the pew. Five pews back there, you know. And just get really, then you're really under the anointing. The problem with that is most of those same people that kind of give you that impression, I don't see that happening when they're in Walmart or Kmart. But you know what? The anointing can work in Walmart and in Kmart. Let's all say this together. The anointing is powerful and practical. I say it again. The anointing is powerful and practical. Let's locate the anointing. Where is the anointing? Chapter 2, 1 John. Be sure in 1 John. Now realize this is the same guy. This is the same John that wrote in St. John, Jesus said, abide in me. See, there weren't four Johns. St. John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. You know, some mother didn't have four little boys running around. 1 John, 2 John, come here. Now, it's the same guy. Just different letters, different epistles. Same guy, look what he says here. Verse 27. Chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing. Ooh, you ought to mark that. Put it in yellow. That's what we're talking about. But the anointing which you hopefully will one day receive. I'm sorry, you know the light's playing tricks in my eyes here. But the anointing which those of you who are special will receive. So I says, come on, read the rest of it. No, you learn some stuff when you do this. But the anointing, when you get spooky, will come. But the anointing which you have received. Everybody say, have received. Now you ought to mark that. What is the tense there? He's writing to believers. You have received it. See? It's not one day you'll get it. It's not you got to go beg and fast for it. It's not that you got to, you know, get good enough for it. He says, you have received it. Now, yes, you may need to pray and fast and so forth to learn to yield to it, but you're not going to earn it. You have received it. If you're a Christian believer, you have received it. Somebody says, well, I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. It's wonderful to feel it. And you ought to have gladness and joy and so forth rising up within you. That's a very important part of the Holy Spirit. But you have received it. Now look what he says here. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. That's the location. Would you mark it? It's in me. Everybody put your hand right here on your chest. Everybody say, the anointing is in me. I have received it. And now, Lord, teach me to yield to it. See, that's where the captives are going to get set free. That's where the bonds are going to get broken. That's where the yoke's going to come off of people, is taking what's in here and flowing it out there. Follow me now. It's so simple, but we miss it so many times. What's in here has to flow out there, and there's one place it's got to flow through. The brain. The soulless realm. See, your spirit, I agree with what Mike Williams teaches, your spirit has been perfected in Christ Jesus. Your spirit has been forever joined unto the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine anything that would be imperfect that's joined to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit would not join to anything that is imperfect. Everybody, put your hands up like this. My famous sleight of hand illustration. Everybody say, my right hand represents my human spirit. All right, now kind of do your right hand like this. See, before you were a Christian, the Bible declares that your human spirit was dead unto God. In sin, lost, could not know God. Now, it could be alive unto the occult. It could be sensitized unto demonic things, but it was dead unto God. But everybody say, my left hand represents the Holy Spirit. Now, join your and lace your fingers together. See, that's what happened at salvation. The Holy Spirit joined into your human spirit. That's called the new creation. That's called the new man in the Bible. That's perfect. I have been made new. Old things are passed away. The problem is our soulless realm, isn't it? That's why we still sin. That's why we have hang-ups. Is our mind has not been fully yielded to that spirit within us. But it's in you. Look what it says here. It says, "With the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as has taught you," mark it, "you shall" what? "Abide in him." What's the anointing trying to teach you? Mark it, the latter part of verse 27. "You shall abide in him." It's a shame that most people, the only thing they get out of verse 27 is, "Praise God, I don't need anybody to teach me. Hallelujah." You know, they get that old stubborn, independent spirit. And they totally don't understand what John was writing about. He was writing against a heresy in his day called Gnosticism, where some guys were coming along and saying, "Hey, Jesus isn't enough to get to heaven. You've got to have Jesus in us to get you to heaven." That's what he was coming against. He was not coming against the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, who are sent to grow us up into the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's all you need to get to heaven. But if you want to get there victoriously and successfully, you do need the teachers. Amen? That's what he was saying. Now, get the point. The point in verse 27 is this. The anointing is in you, and the anointing is trying to teach you something, because in learning this is where the release will come. Mark it in verse 27. "Even as it hath taught you," mark it, "you shall abide in him." Some versions say "it," but that it's not an "it," it's a "him." Amen? Jesus is not an "it." "You shall abide in him." Now look at verse 28. Go ahead and do what he says. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Listen, if you're abiding in Christ, if that anointing is flowing through your soulish realm, you're in tune with God's plans, God's visions, God's dreams for your life, then you'll be about the Father's business when Jesus comes, won't you? And you won't have to be ashamed like a lot of Christians will be when Jesus appears. Now people say, "I can't wait till Jesus comes." They better. Because they will be ashamed that it's coming. They're not about the Father's business. And He will not say, "Well done." He will not say, "Here's 10 cities for you." He'll say, "You're a janitor on planet Umbo." And in fact, you're the only person on Umbo. And you get to spend the rest of eternity there in your glorified body on Umbo. The Bible is very clear that there will be rewards to the righteous. Not everybody will be on an equal level. No, we're not saved by works. We're saved unto good works. Saved unto good works. Now, we've talked about the reality. We've talked about the job description, and we've located the anointing, haven't we? Let's talk about the concept of manifestation. Everybody say manifestation. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we're just going to touch here toward the end tonight, in the next few minutes, on how to begin to get what's in there out. In order to do that, you've got to understand the Bible principle of manifestation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because in understanding the word manifestation, you're going to understand that the anointing is something to be released, not something to go get. Because I tell you, you'll spend a lot of wasted time and effort I got to get the anointing. Oh God, give me the anointing. When he says the anointing abides in you and is trying to teach you to do something, to walk and abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will bring the release to your soulless realm. That'll bring the release to your soulless realm. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, mark verse 7. Would you do it? Right smack dab in the middle of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, teaching about them. Verse 7 says, "But the what?" Well, 15 of you got it. But the what? Everybody say the manifestation. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all." Notice it doesn't say, "But that when the Spirit comes from way up yonder." Notice it doesn't say, "When you get smart enough and the Spirit hits you on top of the head." When the Spirit chases you down, it says the manifestation. Everybody say the manifestation. Manifestation. Now, what does manifestation mean? Manifestation, write this definition down, not out of the dictionary. The word manifestation simply means something that becomes apparent to the senses. You look it up in the dictionary. The word manifestation means something that becomes apparent to the senses. In other words, my eyes see that person and think, "Why, they seem like an okay person." But the manifestation of the Spirit will bring apparent to my eyes with spiritual sight, they're not okay. They're hurting on the inside. I'll tell you a story. This is a true story about one of our missionaries in Costa Rica, Robert Corsi. Robert Corsi, when Martha and I met Robert Corsi in a little town called Vidalia, Georgia. Anybody ever heard of Vidalia, Georgia? Home of the sweet onions. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't know what sweet onions were. We got to Vidalia, and they all talk about sweet onions. You know, they grow them down there. We had an evangelistic ministry primarily to youth at that time. Preached on the streets an awful lot. We had a coffee house called the Rock House. And under it it said, Jesus is the rock. Amen, you know. And so we attracted all kinds of people. Robert Corsi, when we first met him, I mean, he seemed outwardly like a broken person. Robert couldn't talk. He stuttered. And when he'd ask him his name, he couldn't hardly say, Bobby Corsi. Robert was the kind of guy that everybody rejected. Robert was the kind of guy that nobody wanted to be with. He was 18 years old when I met him, and he didn't know how to drive. His family had rejected him. Bobby was basically a throwaway. Bobby basically was an ignored person. Bobby was a loser in the world's eyes. There's no losers in Jesus. When I met Bobby, it took some time. I mean, that wasn't the very first time I met him, but after a while, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I've called him to preach, and I want you to help him manifest that in his life. My Spirit is in him, and my gifts are in him. Help him to manifest that anointing. I said, God, he can't even say his own name. Much, I know y'all never think this way. Y'all are so spiritual and everything, but y'all are beyond me. But I said, Lord, he can't even say his name, much less preach the Bible. The Lord said, you just tell him my word, and I'll do the miracle. So one day I told Bobby, we were standing around with some of the other young people. The other young people kind of, shunned him and everything. I mean, wasn't very well dressed, well kept, etc. And I said, Bobby, God's got a call on your life to preach the Bible. You think so? I said, I know so, Bobby. Oh, I don't. Start off with a positive confession there. I said, God's got a call on your life, Bobby. And every time I'd see him, I'd say, Bobby, God's got a call on your life. Start telling other people. And so sometimes he'd be around other groups, and I'd say, Bobby, put him on the spot. I'd say, Bobby, tell these other people what God's doing in your life. Whoa. It'd take him 10 minutes to tell him. God's got a call on my life. Isn't that right, Jason? Yeah. I'd say, that's right, Bobby. Praise God. God's got a call on your life. I'll tell you, the anointing is powerful. The anointing is powerful when you begin to let that thing manifest and flow. To make a long story short, it's a real long story. To make a long story short, I taught Bobby how to drive on the back roads of Vidalia. The anointing can teach a person how to drive. Do you believe that? I helped Bobby buy his first car. We bought his first car for $200 and I think it was $25. He came by a set of tires for that much. You believe him? We found a good car. I got Bobby enrolled in Rhema. Bobby went out to Rhema Bible Training Center, graduated with good grades. God healed him of every ounce of stuttering. And Bobby's been a missionary for about 5 years in Costa Rica, speaks fluent Spanish, and is happily married with a baby now. Praise God! I don't take any credit for that other than just doing the voice of God. See how that anointing is related to the voice of God? It took some time. I mean, Bobby wasn't just one of these, zap, he's healed of stuttering. Well, he doesn't stutter anymore. He's healed. He's a normal, supernatural person working for Jesus in Costa Rica. Now, see, it's the manifestation. Everybody say the manifestation. See, Bobby didn't go get something. Something that was in him was released. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you learning anything tonight? I tell you, there's people all around us, and some of you even in here, That anointing wants to rise up and do miracles in your life. You know, you've been to the meetings. I had one lady. She said, I've had all the big people pray for me. What can you do? This lady was a smoker, and she said, I just can't stop smoking. And she said, I've had all the big people pray for me. What can you do? I said, nothing. I said, but Jesus can. I said, you think Jesus is bigger than all the big people? She said, well, what should I do to quit smoking? I said, are you reading the Bible? She says, no, I smoke, and I get so condemned reading the Bible, I keep smoking. I said, that don't bother me. I said, go home and start reading the Bible on a regular basis. She said, you mean in smoke? I said, yes, smoke. I said, light them up and smoke them. I said, just read the Bible. See, I knew that that word of God, once it got in her, would stimulate the anointing, and the anointing would drive out the desire to smoke. See, everybody's trying to clean the fish before they catch them. Hello. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I know you got to catch them before you clean them. Amen. I said, just go home and light her up, you know, and just smoke away and enjoy the Word of God. I went back a few weeks later because I was teaching like every Wednesday night. It was one of these things. I was visiting the church four or five times every Wednesday night, you know. And I went back toward the end there, and she came up. She had a glory testimony. She said, man, I haven't smoked. I don't have a desire to smoke. I said, what happened? She said, I just read the Word, smoke like you said. I just forgot about it, just read the Bible. She said, you know what? All of a sudden, I just felt something rise up within me, and it just drove out that desire. And I don't smoke anymore. I said, praise Jesus. That's better than the big guys could do. 2 Corinthians 4. I think Jesus can do better than the big guys. Sometimes they get too big for their own britches. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you begin with verse 6? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. We're talking about manifestation. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, we've got that light in us. That's the anointing. That's the Holy Spirit. But we have this treasure. Everybody say this treasure. Would you circle the phrase, this treasure? What do you think he's talking about there? He's talking about the presence of Jesus that comes by the Holy Spirit, isn't he? He's talking about the presence of Jesus that comes by the Holy Spirit of God. He said, but we have this treasure in... Everybody say in. See, it's not over yonder. You don't have to cross the sea. It's in earthen vessels. What's the earthen vessel? That's your body. Everybody say my body. So you begin to see there's some distinctions here. The anointing has been fused with your spirit. Right, you've got a mind and you've got a body. The trick is how do I get that anointing flowing through my body and through my mind out to set people free? Look what Paul says here. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, we are troubled on every side. We got trouble. That's the Apostle Paul talking. Some people that try to teach, you know, Christians are exempt from trouble, that's not Bible. I mean, the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked. Spent a night and the day in the deep. Can you imagine putting that in a charismatic newsletter these days? I mean, can you imagine the way people would interpret that? These days, if you have a shipwreck or you're a night and the day in the deep, we're not talking about deeper life seminar here. We're talking about Mediterranean. When Paul said I was a night and a day in the deep, he didn't mean deep in the spirit. He meant in the Mediterranean with sharks. Everybody say sharks. Now, can you imagine how most charismatics' mentality would interpret that? You know, floating on a board. You know, put that on the front cover of your newsletter. Please send money. I'm in the Mediterranean. I need rescuing. Most people would say this. I just believe he's out of God's will. Wouldn't they? Wouldn't most people? Well, he's been shipwrecked 3 times. Bless God, I think he's out of God's will. I tell you, when you're in God's will, the devil's not just going to stand there and say, why, there goes another apostle. I mean, he's going to whip up some storms and try to stir up some sharks and snakes. Remember that snake wrapped around Paul? That wasn't God that sent the snake, was it? But the anointing shook it off. The count of three, I'm up again. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He says, we face death all the time. That, now here's my point. Mark it, would you, in verse 10. That the life, that the anointing, that the power, that the treasure that's in earthen vessels, you see, that the life also of Jesus might be made, here's our famous word, circle it, manifest, everybody say manifest. See, in our mortal flesh. So, again, the anointing is not something you've got to go get or work up. It's something you've got to yield to and release. Title 3, I'm up again. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He says, we face death all the time. That, now here's my point. Mark it, would you, in verse 10. That the life, that the anointing, that the power, that the treasure... that's in earthen vessels, you see. That the life also of Jesus might be made, here's our famous word, sort of like manifest. Everybody say manifest. Manifest. See, in our mortal flesh. So, again, the anointing is not something you've got to go get or work up. It's something you've got to yield to and release. I can't stress that enough. You say, Jason, I'm weary of that point. No, you don't need to be weary of that point. Because until you get that down, until it's second nature, I don't have to go get the anointing. I've got to release the anointing that was in me. You'll never have the victory. But when you begin to understand that, praise God, I've got the life in me. I've got the excellency of the power of God in me. I've got this treasure in my earthen vessel, and I'm going to begin to do certain things, as we're going to be teaching on. I'm going to begin to do certain things, and these certain things will release that anointing through my soulish realm to go out and set the people free. Amen. And to keep me in the freshness instead of getting stale. You know, I kind of cut up, you know, when I teach, but I tell you, it's serious. I'm not just preaching. I'm teaching on reality, folks. The past few years, I have seen more men of God fall and get absolutely wiped out than any other time in my 11 years I've been in the ministry. I've got one friend, and I'm not going to even allude to who it could possibly be, because God is working, you see, in these people's lives. I don't give up on them. Amen? But it baffles the natural mind. I had a friend who early on was one of the stars in the 1970s, if I could put it that way, of the charismatic movement. Went to a nation in another country, absolutely shook that nation with miracles, signs and wonders, mass crusades, starting churches all over that country. Wrote a book that was the bestseller. I mean, a personal friend I'm talking about, not just, you know, somebody I don't know. I'm talking about somebody I've sat down, had meals with, etc., has helped me. I've tried to emulate my life after him. But today is divorced, involved in the New Age movement, living with a woman, off and on, absolutely wiped out. And you know, you back up and say, Jesus. I tell you, I look at those things. That's just one. I can tell you stories that make you backslide. That's why I'm not going to tell them. Some of you just absolutely couldn't handle it. I say, Jesus, what happened? What happened? I talked to the wife of this guy. I've talked to, you know. I said, Jesus, what happened? The Lord said, he quit abiding. That sounds too simple, doesn't it? He quit abiding. He knew how to go in and pull his favorite sermon out and minister, and the anointing would be released to the people, but not to him. He knew how to get the anointing to them, but his soulish realm was dry as a rock. He wasn't abiding in me any longer. And I tell you, when you quit abiding, it's not before long you'll break every commandment that God ever gave. So don't let it baffle you. See, what we're talking about is not just, this isn't just a cute little, you know, fresh anointing conference. Something unique to draw the people. Certainly not that. It's something that's life. It's something that's the very core of Christianity. How to walk in that abiding presence. See, with Jesus. Paul said what? That the life. Everybody say the life. See, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Look at verse 11. For we worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Mark that. I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. That's called the spirit of faith. Listen, I'm just going to touch on it, because we're running out of time tonight. I want to be sensitive to the children downstairs and so forth. Look at me. That anointing that's in you, the first thing it wants to do is percolate up to your brain. It's going to give you a God idea. Do this. Make this phone call. Talk to this person. It's imperative that you do this now. If you believe that, then you'll act on it. Either speak in or action. That's the simple process of releasing the anointing. You must sensitize, not your spirit. Your spirit is sensitive. You know, you don't have to train your spirit. How can an imperfect soul train a spirit? Now, I've heard people say, well, I've got to get the Word of God down in my spirit. I know what they're saying. I'm not trying to pick bones with anybody. But you've got the Word of God in your spirit. You've got to get the Word of God up into your soul. You don't have to train your spirit. You have to train your soul. Train your senses to discern between good and evil. As your soul is sensitized to that voice, to those promptings, to that inner witness, then you will believe. And you'll speak and do something, and a miracle will happen. The manifestation of the Spirit will occur, and God will be released into that situation. Or you'll say, well, I just don't have the faith for it. See, when Bobby, right in front of me, Lord said, tell him he's called. My natural mind argued with God. Has your natural mind ever done that? I mean, God was faithful to percolate that thing up. Faithful to percolate that thing up. But now my natural mind said, no, he's a stutterer. He can't even say his name. I believed, therefore I spoke. Bobby, God's got a call on your life. And a manifestation was occurring. From here to out there. From here to out there. So we're going to concern ourselves with, in this conference, on how to sensitize your soulish realm to that anointing that abideth in you. How to release that anointing. And I tell you, for some of you, it'll be the actually salvation of your lives. I dare say, I bet you in this room, there are people who are facing life and death situations. There are people who, they've got to have a financial miracle. There are people that you've got friends, you've got a family, you've got a loved one that needs a miracle, and you want so desperately to let the life of Jesus manifest through you onto them. Amen? Is God teaching us something? He is. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated, and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.